5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all of your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments, so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
What's up, guys? Welcome to General Banter Podcast. Let me quickly plug some gigs before we kick off here. Lavery's Comedy Club is, of course, the first and third Wednesday of every month. The next one is the 20th of July. And also want to promote the big gig coming up on the 29th of October 2016. The Ulster Hall will host me, Mickey Bartlett, Kieran Bartlett, Rory Woods, Dave Elliott, and fucking Aaron McCann. And you can come see all six of us at the Ulster Hall on the 29th. And that's about it. Enjoy the fucking podcast.
The General Banter Podcast with Colin Jettis.
Right about you, ladies and gentlemen. I want you to get yourself and your soul together.
This man will make your liver quiver. This man will make your bladder splatter. Let's all welcome the world's godfather of soul.
Colin Jettis.
It's Gettis, actually.
Jettis.
Gettis.
Jettis.
Fuck you. What the fuck is happening, people? Welcome to the General Banter Podcast on today, the 12th of July, 2016. This podcast is sponsored by the magnificentbeer52.com, the number one craft beer service, where you go on, you sign up, and they send boxes of beer to your house. Boxes of delicious craft beer to your house, and you don't even have to move. The delivery's free. You also get 8 bottles of craft beer in the box. You get a magazine, a copy of Ferment magazine worth a fiver. And you also get some snacks, which were sriracha nuts the last time I ate them. And I didn't quite, I sort of underestimated how hot they would be. I was like, oh, these look like delicious snacks. They were delicious, but, you know, maybe write a warning on it. Something like that. Anyway, beer52.com. It's the number one craft beer service on the internet, basically. You know, and you can sign up. They'll send out boxes of beer to your house with free delivery. The last month's batch were Danish. They were all from Denmark. And I'll be honest with you, beer52. I ran through them like an absolute animal. So they're gone. You know, we had a little tasting party. We all sat around and we had little cups and we just went. We essentially did what was kind of like a shot of beer each till they were gone. Which is the best way to drink these beers. You know, you just get, you taste them all. You're like, this is very exciting. You know, you're not sitting there with drinking 18 tins of Carlsberg going, this is tastes like a nosebleed. But some exciting beers in there. There's an oatmeal stout. When have you ever heard those words put together? Oatmeal stout. I think it was called Don't Break the Boat, or else Don't Break the Oat, but it's some sort of graphic design trickery on the eye there with the typography. Oatmeal stout, it was like some sort of science project. You know, you pour it in the glass and the bubbles on it were insane. And then it tastes like some sort of chocolatey coffee. It was unbelievable. The reason we've teamed up with Beer52 is they sponsor the podcast, and in exchange I get a code for you guys, the listener is they're the people that benefit from this collaboration, other than me drinking a ton of free beer. Yeah, Beer52. All you have to do is go to beer52.com, enter the code BANTER10. That is banter as in general banter, and 10 as in the number 10. Do you want £10 free off this next batch that you order? BANTER10. BANTER10. And you get £10 off your first order when you sign up. That means you get the pack of 8 beers. You get the magazine, the copy of Ferment magazine, and some snacks. Delivered to your door, £14. Beer52.com. Enter the code BANTER10 and grab yourself some of the best craft beer in the world. That's it, guys. Shout out to Beer52. Follow them on Instagram and Twitter and all that carry on. And order yourself some beer if you want to support this podcast. Respect. Let's move on. It's the 12th of July, guys. Here in Northern Ireland and indeed the rest of the world. And as usual, the internet is on fire, quite literally, with just some madness, really, isn't it? You know? Let's build a 200-foot pallet fucking Burj Khalifa outside the fucking house here. And then, of course, there's a picture of a house. Like, can you believe that some of that fell over and set the fucking house on fire? Can I believe it? Yeah. 100% believe it. You know, all these photos going up and just people's houses on fire and then they're trying to freak out last minute. Let me fix it. For God's sake. So yeah, everything's fucking shut. We made the mistake, you know, everyone freaks out on the 11th and they're like, oh, we gotta go, and you know, they raid the place. They're off work. They're like, oh, we're not going to be able to go to any shops tomorrow. And they go and they clear the place out. And I'll tell you who didn't do that. Me and our girlfriend Maureen there. You know, we practically did nothing yesterday. And then, well, that's a lie. That is a complete lie. Did a lot of editing. But we didn't do any shopping. And then we went to girlfriend Maureen's parents' house for an Indian. So I was like, that's the dinner covered. And now we're sitting on the 12th of July here. You know, just trying to figure out what you do with pickles and beans. Which individually I love, but I'm like, we really should have done a shopping, shouldn't we? I mean, somewhere's bound to be open. Probably go to Tesco's. You know? Full of a load of loyalists looking like after sun. Stay too close. That's the wonderful thing about living where we live now, in the sticks, in the fuck hole of nowhere, is because, you know, no matter what madness is going on in the world, they're like, oh, 12th here, there's bonfires falling over, there's some violence here, you know, people are celebrating the Euro win, there's fucking, you know, there's terrible things happening around the world, some girl's the fucking Prime Minister, and everyone's like, who the fuck are you, love? Just like, oh, I just am here. And they're like, well, do you want to have some sort of election to just to double, you know, to make sure that the people want you here? She's like, no, not really. And they're like, are you sure you didn't request one of those back when Blair and Brown were fucking fighting it out? I did. Well, why would you not do the same for you? Female. But that's the good thing about living in the country. All this shit's going on and you're just sitting here like, again, it's I keep referencing that Bill Hicks joke, where he's all like, rape, war, murder, and he looks outside and he's like, that's me right now. You know, my biggest worry is like, I think there was weed killer putting them weeds, and they don't seem to be dying. That's my worry now. And also, we didn't go to Tesco's in time. Where's all my beer? Where's all my beer 52 beer? Oh, I drank it. Fuck. So there you go, it's the 12th of July here, and that's exciting, for some. I'm absolutely knackered. It is the morning of the 12th, and yesterday was like a recovery. They always say that, don't they, like, you know, you find this out as you're an adult, you're like, you can go fucking mad one day, right, then the next day you're kind of like, yeah, whatever, I'm still hungover, I'm fucking, yeah, I'm a wild young one, even though I'm 30 as fuck. You know, you really pay for it the day after that. Same with lifting weights. What are they called? Doms or something? You know, you lift some fucking big weights, which I'll tell you about in a minute, because that was me trying to compensate for drinking 700 beers. So I fucking, you know, you lift weights and you're like, oh, I feel fucking pumped, mate. And then the next day you're like, kind of like, oh, I'm a bit sore. The day after that, you're like, what the fuck? Did someone beat the shit out of me in my sleep? Is that what's happening here? Oh, it's madness. But essentially there at the weekend, what had happened was we had all talked. The lads, all the comedy lads had went to Rathlin. If you cast your minds back, you can go onto my Godzilla YouTube and you can find the vlog. It's called The Squad Hit Rathlin. We went there to do a gig on St. Paddy's Day. Now, the gig was kind of just a bit of fucking admin, a bit of a formality. Like, yeah, let's do a fucking gig, sure. What we're really there for, of course, was the old gargle. So, you know, we drank it silly that time. I then had mentioned to girlfriend Maureen and Begley and her sisters and stuff. I was like, we should definitely go. let's all go. You know, it's Rathlin, there's not much to do, but we can drink. And I contacted the little hostel and I was like, could you... This is a classic bit of misunderstood text gone right, actually, you know, worked out well. I was like, would you be able to tell me what the next free Saturday is that you have coming up? And I think so, now, I don't know whether I've talked about this on a podcast already, but it must have got misconstrued as me going, is next Saturday free? And the guy, obviously, on the other end of the email was like, yeah, do you want me to book you in? And I went, oh, fuck, I better go ask some people here. So there was originally a group of eight of us. And there was a couple that couldn't go, so it ended up six. So it was basically me, Begley, who's in the Chuck McGinley and the Man Boy sketch with me in Late License. Girlfriend Maureen and her three sisters. So it was pretty girly outing. Except a couple of them do not drink like little girls, I'll tell you that for free. Drink like two fucking sailors. So I was like, yeah, let's throw this together, go to Rathlin. Maureen had a few makeups on Saturday. Then we head to Rathlin. It was all a bit of a fucking, it was like speed trying to get to this fucking boat. Stuck behind a tractor on the way to fucking Ballycastle. By the way, bro, get off the fucking road. It's like, you know, I just don't know how you wouldn't have the fucking awareness to be like, oh, look, there's 40 cars behind me on a windy road. Maybe I should pull in a wee bit here and let these people pass instead of just checking my phone. That's when you should, you know, I don't really advocate the, what's, is that the word? Advocate? I'm a fucking retard. I don't even know what the word is, I'm trying to think. It's very early. It is very early. I got a stroke. Can you have a stroke? And like a wee one and just fucks your brain up for a second? I don't condone, fuck me, the use of firearms. However, in a country where they're more or less banned, you should be allowed. Imagine just carrying a fake one and just, you know, like, toot the horn a wee bit and just wave the gun at him. You know what I mean? Like, hey, fuck off. And maybe he'd pull in. But then you don't know what them fucking cowboys are like up there. Probably just pull a shotgun out and shoot the tires out of your car. Fuck you, you cunt. So anyway, we missed the boat and we had to wait another hour and a half. So obviously we just went and drank. It was funny though, because me and Begley went to this pub, which I forget the name of it now, but the folks in Rathlin and Ballycastle, I think, refer to it as Terminal 2, which means it's the final pub before you get on the boat, and everyone sort of drinks in there before they get on the boat, which is exactly what we did. But we were fucking tired and hungry, everything. So me and Begley went for liquid dinner, and then Maureen and her sisters, a couple of them went for coffee, and then I think they ended up getting ice cream. But then we'd basically landed there. Me and Begley went in, got pints, and the other few of them just used the toilet. Just went to the toilet and then they left, and they were going to get a coffee and come back for a drink, I would imagine. And on their way back, the woman who, I don't know whether she worked there or owned the place, she stopped them on the way in. She's like, sorry, you can't come in and use the toilet. This is just for customers only. And instead of Maureen being like, all right, we just nipped out for a coffee. We're going to come back and drink here. Our friends are in here. Instead of saying that, you know, Maureen's a fancy princess deep down. You know, at the root of it all, she could easily be like royalty, I would imagine. And she was just like, well, fuck you. Huh? I'm leaving. So we essentially, before we got on the boat, we all drank separately. Rather than her just be, you know, explain herself, she was like, well, if you're not going to let me in here to use the toilet and sit and eat an ice cream and drink a coffee that I didn't buy here, you can go fuck yourself. You'll be getting no more of my custom. None of my business, sir. You know, and so she then went and sat somewhere else till the fucking boat came, and me and Begley just kind of sat there. And Niamh, another one of Maureen's sisters. There's too many of them, to be honest. So anyway, we go to Rathlin. This is me talking up a story where nothing really fucking happened at all. We go to Rathlin. I cook 30 sausages. It wasn't like the last time we went. The place was full of people. It was absolutely bunged. I was talking to some German lady with her son who spoke like embarrassingly good English. You know, Germans, it's almost like they correct you on your fucking thing. You know, by advocate, do I mean condone, you silly bastard? I walked in and he goes, like, this kid's about fucking 13. And I had a GoPro and he goes, oh, you have action camera? And I was like, yeah. And he goes, you have adapter for action camera? And I was like, what do you mean? And I was like, I have the USB and the plug. And he's like, I have the cord, but I do not have the adapter. And I was like, okay, do you want to borrow mine? He's like, yes. I was like, okay. That's the sort of forward confidence that gets countries invaded, fair play to you. And he was blonde and blue-eyed as shit. He might have been Hitler, but I was like, right, I'll get you the adapter. And he just was like, okay, thanks, snatched it out of my hand. I was like, oh, fuck me, might never see that. It's just, you know, like an iPod charger, or like an iPhone charger, minus the cable. And he just fucking disappeared with it. He goes, I will leave it back with you when I am done. And I was like, all right, bro. So there's those people, there was another group of older four sisters who were all, you know, middle-aged-ish. They were there, who were having a right laugh with fucking Maureen and her sisters. Like, are you four sisters? So are we. Oh my God, let's bond. And they were all like, how about no? All right. How about relax? So we essentially just went over to Rathlin and got really, really fucking drunk. And if you go on my YouTube.com/Gadzilla. There is a little, it's not a vlog, it's more of a highlight reel of the drinking that we did. We're drinking with the barman, Connor. Shout out to him. What a place to work, though. You know, it's like, you know, you see in movies where people are like, yeah, get yourself a shot. And the bar person, you know, does a shot with the customer. But in real life, you know, most bars, it's like, no, I can't, I'm not allowed to drink on the job. I'm not even allowed to talk to my friends who are drinking in this bar or else I get sacked. Not in Rathlin. I'm like, mate, do you want a Jaeger bomb? And he's like, abso-fucking-lutely. You know? Do you want a third and a fourth Jaeger bomb? Of course you do, you fucking mad bastard. Pile of fucking Jaegers. Oh, Christ. I don't even, it was one of those ones where, like, you feel like having some sort of ceremony for your wallet the next day. Well, that's the end of that. I'll not be needing you again for quite some time. Now that you're empty forever. So, yeah, we had a fucking good time. Just pretty steaming. Pretty fucking steaming. I mean, it's literally giving me shudders thinking about it now. There was no craft beer drank there, let me tell you. Fucking tequilas. Jaeger bombs, oh. Christ the night. Got talking to some people, talked to some wee fella who was a fucking magician there with his dad from Bangor. And you're like, oh, cool. He's like, do you want to see some magic? And I was like, yeah, I'll see some magic. Watch them do some magic. And then Fair play to him. It was pretty good. Pretty good shit. Other than, you know, you really don't want to try and be, you don't want to be rude. I think he was about 16 or 17. He was good. But no matter who he was, it gets to the point where you're like, yeah, can I go sit with the people I came here with? Or do we have to get the full Dynamo show here for fucking 3 hours? You know, that's the slight problem with, you know, I could complain about it, saying like, oh, if you make stuff on the internet, or make things or whatever, and people know who you are to a certain extent, mixing that with alcohol and then seeing someone in public, there's a point where it's like, people are fucking talking to you, which is fine on the most part. It's great. It's great that people watch your stuff. And then sometimes it gets to the point where you're like, you know, this person's drunk enough that I can just walk away. You know, you don't need to sit there and be like, yeah, that's good stuff, man. Please, you know, don't tell your mates that I'm a fucking ignorant cunt. Which I'm not. I feel like I'm not. But sometimes you're like, all right, maybe fucking 17 minutes is enough time for you to tell me about your mate who's funny that you work with. My mate's funny as fuck. I mean, he's full-blown learning difficulties, but, you know, he's funny the way he doesn't know what racism is, and he just says the N-word and all. It's funny. Here, I'll give you his Facebook and I'll phone him. I'm phoning him. Speak to him on the phone. Speak to my friend. There he is. That spastic Darren we talk about in work. There he is. You're like, oh, Jesus Christ. Just need to get better at being like, oh, cool. Thanks very much. Bye. But then again, you're on Rathlin, so, you know, it's like, oh my God, I'm just going to come sit at your table. Madness, right? That was a shit story. Call, move on. Anyway, we get the fucking boat home next day, hungover as shit, go to some fucking carvery, which, you know, Ballycastle is such a quaint little, it's actually a very nice wee town. And we went to some hotel where they were doing this old school carvery, and I was like, this is like, you walked into the 70s. It was amazing. It was like set up like a fucking wedding. It looked like a wedding reception, like a shit, not shit, but you know, like a real tacky wedding reception. And then you could go up and get all this fucking, all this food, and we all just ate ourselves stupid. And the great thing about a hangover is, you know, and you're with close friends, more or less family at this point, and you're like, you know, there's no mystery around. You know, you'd be sitting there, you're like, I have my starter. Someone's like, listen, I need to go just fucking drop some muck here. And you're like, no, good for you. Good for you, young lady. Go have a shite before we have our main. And I'm pretty sure I stopped like just mid-mouth. I was eating my dinner and I was like, nah, now's the time, guys. You know, I'm about to soil here. So, you know, there was probably about 14, between the six of us, there was probably about 14 shits had in the period of time we were eating this 3-course meal. It's great to add 2 shits. I'm not going to lie to you. I mean, you're probably going, that's not healthy. I'm not a healthy guy. Okay. I spent the whole night drinking fucking tequila. In fact, the barman was like, here's a tequila. Do you want the worms? And I was like, what are you, what? And he's like, yeah, I've got a bottle of worms here. And I was like, oh, cool. Does that come free when you buy the tequila? Here, have an old fucking maggot. I was like, ugh. You know, so we had, I love it. I love going to those carvery things because we turned up hungover, starving, and, you know, so one good thing about being on Rathlin Island is, you know, if you're in the middle of Belfast and you were that drunk, you'd definitely have eaten a kebab, whereas you're on Rathlin, so you're like, let's just put our coats on and try and get back to this hostel without dying of pneumonia. So that's essentially what we did, you know, didn't eat anything, and so we're fucking, by the time we got this carvery, starving, and I'm standing in the queue waiting for the meat. You know, the actual carving station. And I could see that there was roast beef, a big turkey joint, and a bacon joint, big ham thing. And I was like, how am I going to word this to this man that I want all of that? Because I could see people going, can I have one slice of ham and a piece of turkey? And I was like, listen, I didn't fucking pay 16 quid for you to give me 2 slices of meat, bitch. So I was like, is there any possibility I could, and before I got it out, he was like, you can try it all. He's like, Englishy. You can try it all, mate. And I was like, abso-fucking-yes, but definitely give me like 2 bits of beef. So I ended up with like fucking this stack of, in fact, the plate that I had got a laugh. It literally got a laugh when I returned to the table. They were like, my God, what a fat cunt, Colin. Destroyed that. It's probably why we all needed two shits. Getting off this fucking thing. It was incredible. Incredible times. So that was a big old boring story for me to just basically say, got home yesterday, was tired. And then had a, you know, bit of a hangover type thing. But then yesterday and today, I'm fucking wrecked still. So old. So fucking old, bro. You know, spent all day watching some fucking, like, watching a lot of vlogs. Here's the thing, guys. I've made a couple of vlogs, and it's, I don't know whether I'm having a realization where I'm like, you know, what's the thing to do? Is it to make, like, branded content type stuff? Whatever. I feel like I've watched enough blogs now. I watched the big ones, like your guy fucking Casey Neistat or something. There's a couple other ones. I watched the guy from Epic Mealtime do a vlog. And I was like, people like watching vlogs. Like, I found myself watching that guy Casey's thing for like about fucking 20 of them, going like, I don't even really like this cunt, but I don't even know what it, and a lot of it is about nothing. Much like this fucking podcast, but I'm listening to it just like, I was like, if I could be arsed doing that, would mine be more entertaining than this guy's? And then I'm like, well, I do comedy and have done for a substantial amount of time, and everything I do is fucking comedy based, so maybe I should make a vlog. So what I might do, along with all the fucking 10,000 podcasts that are on the go, I don't know, I might try doing a vlog, or I might just pick a week and go, I'm going to do a vlog this week. So we'll see. I'll think about it. I'm going to buy a new camera soon. Not that that's going to make me want to fucking vlog and edit anymore, but we'll see. We'll see what happens. Don't know. I feel like maybe I should just really stop worrying about making videos for other people and just make them for myself. You know, guys, one of those moments, you know what I'm saying? So that could be a thing to look forward to in the future. Last week we had Lavery's, of course. Cheers to everyone that came out to that. It was packed to the dick. Lavery's never fails to surprise me. You know, we've been through about 2.5, going on 3 years of Lavery's, and we've had our ups and downs. You've had weeks where there was fucking 15 people in, and we're like, is it easier just to say to these people, like, can we leave? You know, guys, this isn't going to be worth your while to stay here, so. But, you know, you grit it, you get through those things, you grit your teeth, just get through them, and then eventually the word gets out, and it's established enough where, like, it's packed. I know that last week's lineup was pretty sweet. Shane Todd, Mickey Bartlett, Dave Elliott, me. I don't know whether that had anything to do with it. You know, the football was kind of over for Northern Ireland and Ireland. There was people out for graduation and stuff like that. Don't know what it was, but it was fucking full of people. To the point where, you know, you see it and you're like, fuck, why isn't there this many people? You're like, if you can get this many, why can't you get like twice this? And we move the venue up the stairs or whatever. But thank you very much to everyone who came out. Hope you've had a good time. It was warm as fuck. It was one of those gigs where I spent most of the time carrying fucking chairs. So by the time I went on, I was like, I can literally feel sweat just pissing down my head here. Unbelievable. Grotesque, you might say. So that was my interesting raffling story, amongst other things. What's been going on in the old world of world? Lots of shit. What a very sad sight. Alcoholism is a terrible disease. Tell me about it. Barefoot in a flimsy dressing gown, the foodie icon was heading to buy more booze. Al Gaza, fuck me, like, drink is a nightmare, isn't it? You know, says the guy whose family is riddled with fucking alkies, and not even the ones that would probably have the decency to be like, here, I'm an alky. The ones that are like, I'm going to try and hold my life together, even though I hate it and everyone around me. Oh, Gaza. That isn't cool at all. A seriously sick and disheveled Gaza exposes himself while exiting a cab. So, oh man, that is fucking sad. I mean, it's just a I don't know what the situation is, but you'd think like someone would have had a fucking word with him. Maybe not. Yeah, he's actually in a fucking shitty dressing gown. Gets out of it with his cock hanging out. Looks like shit. There's cut on his head. Oh, Christ. I was never that big into football, but I do remember a time, was it during World Cups or whatever, when he was fucking absolutely killing the game. But that is pretty fucking rough shit to look at there. Poor Gaza. I mean, I was going to say, surely there's someone in his family can fucking help him out. But again, those addiction situations were kind of, you know, people give people like 100 fucking chances. Here's another chance. I'm trying to help you. And then it just gets to the point where you're like, well, I know you're just going to go back to the fucking booze. So I can't really help you anymore, type of thing. Pretty rough shit. Al Gaza there. The world's been, I mean, I wish I knew more about bigger issues like Pokemon, but what the fuck? Everyone's losing their mind over this Pokemon Go thing. Which, I've mentioned this before, because I used to do it as material. There's certain things that I fully missed the boat on when I was a kid. Things that people are really nostalgic about now. Like people losing their shit over fucking Pokemon. And I was like, I didn't watch a single fucking episode of Pokemon. If it was in fact a TV show, it might have just been a movie. I have no idea. Missed it all. Missed the boat on all that shit. Told you I was at a party once and a song come on. And everyone sang along to this fucking song. And I was like, what in the name of fuckery is this? And then once it hit the fucking chorus, everyone's like, Pokemon! And I was like, okay, you fucking losers. You made me feel excluded and lonely while I sat in the corner not knowing the words of this song for fucking Pokemon. You fucking assholes. Unbelievable! But everyone's losing their shit over that, you know. Some wee girl thought that she was looking for one of these Pokemon. She's like, oh, if you to catch a Pokemon near a body of water, goes down to the body of water, finds a dead body. How about that for a story? I need to get off this page with Gaza on it. It's making me feel really sad. Poor Gaza. So the Pokemon thing's been taken over the world. David Cameron's fucked off out of his post. It's been taken over by Theresa May, which is funny because there's also an actress, not an actress, like a glamour model from like the fucking 90s who's called Theresa May. She was in the Smack My Bitch Up video. I wish I knew more about the ins and outs of politics. I remember seeing a picture of Theresa May and someone else and they were like, you know that this woman's in charge of something while her husband owns the thing that she has pulls the strings on. Now, if only I'd have paid fucking attention to that, I could have told you some sort of point about that, but I don't fucking know. Theresa May is a glamour model. Let's click on this, because she's got enormous fat tits. And, you know, I'm not one to fucking pass up on seeing some of them bad boys. While we're waiting on that, let's cover some other shit before we get into some real serious stuff. Did anyone watch the UFC? Look at her tits, they're enormous. You know, without being not so good now, pet. Oof. Time, you cruel bitch. Glamour, my full porn star, lads. Theresa May special. I mean, she'd probably fall into the MILF category now. Um, All right. Fucking hell. So, yeah, let's talk about the UFC real quick. There's loads of sport. In fact, the Euros was won by fucking Portugal. The internet went nuts because Ronaldo went off. You know you're a fucking superstar when you do fuck all in the tournament. You get injured and you go off and everyone's like, everyone still loves this guy. What a great achievement. Yeah. And he's sitting there crying, stabbing people in the knee on the sideline. The fuck was all that about? You know? Broke his kneecap. Or whatever the fuck he did. Oh, there's a moth on his face. The internet goes crazy. So they won, and I don't know, I didn't pay any attention to that either. It was a pile of shit. UFC, however, we were in Rafflin, but I downloaded it the next day. I used to be an avid, Jesus Christ, an avid downloader of the UFC if I wasn't watching it live, and those days are gone because unless it's a really big one, like UFC 200, most of them, you're going to see the fucking highlight on the Instagram immediately. So, you know, you wake up and you open Instagram and you're like, oh, I've seen the finishes to all the fights in 30 seconds there. No need for me to watch it at all. But I did download that UFC and watched it. It got shit on for having some crap fights. But the problem is, it's fighting, so it's unpredictable. So no matter what the fights are going to be, the fight card and stuff, you just don't know. And I've seen, you know, where they build up these fights, like, oh, it's, I mean, look at fucking the ones that are the big build one, you know, like, oh, it's Jon Jones versus Cormier. You watch that fight, you're like, it was a big 5-round fucking brawl. You know, it's like, whatever. Someone knock someone out quick. So, I mean, I downloaded this one. I tell you what I did appreciate. I was I'm a big Cain Velasquez fan, and he's missed a couple of fights, lost one, various reasons, but it was good to see him back there. Considering what's his name? Travis Brown has done to other people. Cain Velasquez beat the shit clean out of him. And I was like, that is some fucking, you know, you can be as fancy as you want, but sometimes if you just can wrestle like fuck, control people, and you're striking as lethal, and you have a head like a fucking, just a bison. I was like, that's exciting to watch, you know what I mean? Just walks in there, whack, whack, whack. Just great fucking head movement boxing, taking this cunt out, ducking under his punches, taking him down, punching him, letting him up, taking him down again. You know what I mean? Fucking savage. I loved it. And the fact that he can do that with a body that's probably worse than mine, fair fucking play to you. So that fight happened. I loved watching that. What other fights were on this fucking card? Aldo Edgar. Again, there's one of those fights where it's like, you know, billed as this fucking huge fight, and it was. But in fairness, it was kind of like, it's one of those back and forth stand up fights the whole time. So I was like, all right, whatever. Aldo won, calls out McGregor. McGregor's standing in the crowd like some sort of psychopath, just staring at these two men. He probably did that deliberately. I know how epic this is gonna be. We had Mark Hunt, Brock Lesnar, which was like, I mean, I'll be honest with you, I thought Hunt was gonna be able to smack him before he got taken down. I really don't, you know, maybe he shouldn't have been as fucking tentative, as they say. He probably should have just waited in there and smacked Brock in the face, but Brock Lesnar took him down, beat the shit out of him, essentially. So I was like, fucking fair play to you, Brock. I mean, he really is physically very impressive. Fucking absolute monster. There was that fight, Misha Tate got her shit kicked in, which was always hard to see, because you're like, oh, Misha, just quit already and do porn, will you? For fuck's sake. What other big matches were there? I can't even fucking remember. Anyway, that was UFC. Watch that. Whatever. What other news has been going on? There's been a whole pile of black people getting shot in America, which I feel like is kind of the norm now, isn't it, really? You're just like, oh, there's another fucking black one shot. I mean, the interesting thing that I seen was that there's, not that I'm fucking picking sides here, but I didn't know that there was actually more white people killed by cops. But then you don't know what circumstances that's in. You know, it could be some crazy fucking meth head, you know, who ends up in some sort of death by cop type suicide attempt type thing. You don't know what it is. You know, some drug dealers get shot, some fucking whatever, just some crazy white guy get shot. Whereas it seems to be all the black ones are like, can you pull the car over for having no fucking indicators or something? They're like, give me the fucking, give me your license and registration. And they reach for it and then they shoot them and go, what was he reaching for? The fucking license you just asked me to reach for, you dumb bitch. There was the guy, what was his name? Ashton. Do you know what? It's terrible that I don't even know the fucking name. What was his name? Ashton or something. He's selling CDs. They're getting some scrap. I just don't understand why the fucking American cops need to bother. You know, it's like, you see some dude hanging outside a shop. What's the problem? You know, if he's selling CDs or something, who gives a shit? That's a bold move these days anyway. If you think there's money in CDs, but he's standing there doing that. Unless he's like standing there selling CDs, you know, and he's like openly smoking crack and beating the shit out of children. You're like, what's the problem? Why do you have to go over? And of course, this is how it seems to be in my head, right? It seems to be that the police can't let something go. So they walk over and they go, what are you doing here, sir? And your immediate reaction would be, I'm not doing anything. Oh, well, sir, it appears like you're doing it. And they're like, well, I'm just fucking standing here. Like, it's none of your business. Excuse me, sir. What do you mean, none of my business? I'm a police. And then all of this shit really could have probably been avoided if they just had a went, yeah, whatever, just let him not walk away. He's not hurting anyone. Like, I don't know why they don't say that all the time. He's doing no harm. Work away. Like, that's how you all could have avoided all that shit. And of course, once you engage with someone as a police officer in America, it seems like they can't let it slide. It's like they have to follow it through till they win. They can never fucking take a bit of a knock. So everything ends up like, get on the floor, just because you're trying to ask them why the fuck they're trying to arrest you, you know? Get on the floor, like, why? I'm just standing here. Next minute, that's like resisting arrest. And, you know, I seen that guy, he was like a big, big fucking black dude. And the cop tries to like rugby tackle him to the ground, which was awkward as well, because none of them can fucking grapple. Or like, you know, you should be at least a fucking Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu blue belt and do some wrestling or something before you become a fucking cop. Instead, it's just flailing around on the floor. They try and get that guy down. They get him down. He's fucking on his back. The two of them are on him. Oh, he's reaching for a gun. They're like, is he? Was there even a fucking gun? And they just empty five fucking bullets into his chest and he dies. And you're like, what the fuck was the point in that? Do you know what I mean? It's not even like, you know, it's like Black Lives Matter and all this shit. And you're like, beyond all that, what are you going to do? Just be sitting in court? Like, what? I don't even know what the question is going to be. So, Officer fucking Smith, what the fuck? Why did you do that? That's the question, you know? Not like, not that he have a gun or fucking whatever. It's like, here, why did you go over him, shoot him? When you could have just not done that? Huh? Why? Why didn't you just fucking, just go like, look at this guy over here. Let's drive past him and keep moving. No, we have to go and fucking investigate because we're cops. Get on the floor, sir. What's going on? Bang. Shot in the chest. I mean, people always say things like, oh, why didn't they just shoot them in the arm? You can die being shot anywhere. Don't shoot him in the chest. Shoot him in the arm through a major artery and he bleed out in 30 seconds anyway. What about that other guy in the fucking car? the woman's Facebook Live in it. Now, fair enough, you got to do these things, you know, to get the fucking word out there, keep yourself safe, whatever. But the composure that she had in the moment to be like, I'm on Facebook Live right now and my man just been shot. And this guy's like dying. And the cop, if you listen to that cop's voice, he's just like, he's like, keep your hands to yourself, man. That guy's completely freaking out, as you would be, because he shot someone out of fear, like pure fear. Like, you're literally a person who cannot fucking cope with the pressure of that job. And like, there's probably very few people that can, but you're completely unqualified to be in a situation like that. Your whole thing is like, I'm gonna maybe need to shoot a gun here. I have a gun, maybe I'll need it, I'll keep my hand on the gun, what's gonna happen here? I'm gonna ask you a question. The whole thing is on edge because you're worried about this guy having a gun. And then you're that's all you're thinking about, the gun, the gun, the gun, the gun, the gun. And then the next minute you just fucking, you're like, I'm gonna have to shoot him because all I've been doing is thinking about the gun. I'm so hyped up that there's gonna be a fucking shootout. I've got my hand on the gun, get a bit scared. He flinches, reaching for the wallet that you probably asked for, and then you shoot him in the arm and he died. So you're going like, why didn't they just shoot them in the arm? Because you can just go straight through arteries in your fucking arm. And this cunt's dying and she's Facebook Live-ing it. Like, she's fucking keying to me. Fuck me. And that's another one of those ones where you're like, what'd you do that for? Why, you know, he gets pulled over for a broken taillight or something and he ends up getting shot. How did that happen? This podcast has not been funny at all today. I apologize. Ugh, it's fucked up. But that is really the question, isn't it? You would just be staring at someone in the eye in a fucking courtroom going, why did that have to happen? You know? What'd you do that for? Could you maybe not have shot someone dead? You know, I wouldn't want to shoot someone because I would have to live with the fact that I'd shot someone, whether they were a good person or a bad person. You still shot someone, unless you're a fucking sociopath. That's going to affect you. You know, with the old PTSD. In fact, just call it PTS, because... Or what is it? Yeah, disorder. I remember hearing someone say that, and I was like, that makes good sense. Post-traumatic stress disorder. And the person was like, it's not a disorder. It's supposed to happen. A disorder is something where it's like, yeah, like disorder. It's not really supposed to happen in your body. Whereas your body is supposed to be traumatized or is supposed to be stressed out after trauma. Fuck me. Look, you know, it would take, I don't know who, what sort of evil bastard would have had to have done something to your family for you to kill them and be like, ah, fuck it. Let's move on with their life. Got him killed. You know, completely accustomed and feel normal about shooting someone and, you know, shoving knives through their body, letting them bleed all over the place. Feel fine about that. Feel fine. And then, of course, the reaction is, you know, some black dude starts shooting cops at a rally. Which I also think, I mean, like, that's pretty awful too, because as many fucking psycho cops there are killing people for no reason, you know, the vast fucking majority of them are probably legit there to try and help. You know, so to fucking, to wipe someone out who's at a rally just because they're a cop doesn't really make fucking sense at all. Yeah, you can't be doing that. You can't be shooting people for no fucking reason, but you can't retaliate by killing them. Otherwise, it's just going to get worse and worse and worse, as angry as you are. But again, that guy might be fucking mentally unstable and be like, this is my green. I mean, people underestimate how many crazies have an excuse to kill. You know, look at the fucking Shankle Butchers over here doing some like horror movie shit. That's not normal unless you're a full fucking psycho. Let's hit these questions and hope some of them are funny, because I've just been on a fucking absolute dick's off now the day. Chris Devlin, Bouchie, any chance you're playing the Edinburgh Fringe this year, mate? I am not, and I'll tell you why. I don't like it. I don't know whether it's an ego thing where I'm like, how dare you throw me in the midst of all these other fucking assholes? I don't know, there's just something I don't like about it. I don't like making people try and go see me. I'm very much like, if you want to come see me, come see me. But, you know, I'm not going to fucking harass you in the street. Not into it, guys. I mean, I realise maybe, Chris, you would probably go, I'm sure. I'll sort it out some year. What I would like to do is go back. I just don't want to go for a month. That's my problem. You know, a lot of these guys that I know do comedy, and they do comedy, and that's it, really. Whereas I kind of do other shit also, so it's tough. It's tough for me to go for a month and kind of shut my life down. But anyway, move on. Fucking, how was your recent trip to Rathlin? We went through that in great fucking detail with no laughs whatsoever. UFC 200, Brock Lesnar is a beast. He is. Let's have him fight Kane. No, let's not have him fight Kane. He'd get his fucking bag rolled. The problem is with Mark Hunt, he punches like fucking Satan. But his body type and his weight and his movement isn't great. So you put him on his arse and he rolls around like a fucking turtle. So basically, that's what's going to happen. Put Brock up against, you know, the likes of a Cain Velasquez or whatever. It's going to be trouble. Evan, if the Ulster Hall gig goes well, will there be a chance of another one? We'll see. I mean, it's one of those things where you can't, even if it went really well, you can't really just do another one straight away. I don't know what the ticket sales are like. I'm scared to look. But please go, is what I'm saying. Get your tickets. It'll be a fucking great night because there's great comedians on. And I don't see how it could go wrong, to be honest. Everyone's hilarious. You know, so just go. Ulster Hall, 29th of October. You know, the likes of Bill Burr is playing the fucking Ulster Hall. You know, as if we're not scared enough about playing it. Literally the best comedian in the world is playing it not that long before. For fuck's sake. Yes, Colin, do you ever get self-conscious or doubtful about a video / gig / yourself? If so, in what ways do you deal with it? Let me tell you something, Chris. The whole fucking idea around being a comedian is that you're fucking self-conscious and doubtful. It's the main reason people are doing fucking comedy. Is that a lot of the time they're fucking insecure or they're fucking something. They're trying to prove something to somebody. I'm not sure if I would probably need to speak to a psychiatrist to figure out why the fuck I did. I think I've always liked being funny. And I feel like I've always tried to be funny. But then again, I was always surrounded by funny people at school. But then I played a lot of fucking sport. You know, a lot of competitive things. And then I feel like that was kind of taken away. Not taken away, but I got injured and shit. You know what I mean? I couldn't play fucking rugby anymore. And I feel like the competitiveness has possibly transferred itself to other things in comedy, which is a different approach than what most people take. Do you ever get self-conscious? Absolutely. I don't know how many gigs I've done in like the fucking five or six, or many fucking years it is. I can't even remember. Is it six or five that have done comedy? But I could probably tell you about four of them that were good. Like four gigs where I went, that was about perfect for me. All the material came out well. Everyone laughed hard at everything. You know, in the thousands, hundreds, I don't know how many gigs I would have done. It has to be thousands now. Maybe hundreds, thousands. But like, it is kind of at that point where, yeah, I could probably still only tell you of about five that went well. Self-conscious or doubtful about a video. If you showed me like one of the first videos I ever made, I'd probably be like, Christ almighty, what the fuck is this? But then again, that's only because through doing things hundreds and thousands of times over and over again, you naturally get better at them. So if I watched the video from 3 years ago, I'd be like, that's kind of shite compared to what I feel like I could do now. So you do get that sort of feeling. self-conscious about yourself all the fucking time. I mean, you need to be very self-aware and very aware in general when you're a comedian. Otherwise, you're not going to really notice anything. So thanks. That's from Chris McMenamin. I'll probably go onto the internet later and type in, like, how do I, therapists in Belfast or something. Rushy McGreevy, who are you backing to win Race to Ronaldo? In case anyone doesn't know what Race to Ronaldo is, it's a made-up thing that Shane Todd and Dave Elliott made up, which Dave Elliott's trying to lose weight because he's built like a fucking... Dave Elliott makes me look dainty. He's the thickest human you've ever met. Just dense and thick. He's trying to lose weight, and Shane Todd is trying to put on weight because he has Crohn's and, looks... Well, he's not so bad now. At one stage, he was skinny as fuck and looked like he had full-blown decades. But now the two of them have started this vloggy type thing where they're trying to go to the gym and lose weight, and he's trying to put on weight, and they're going to end up looking like Ronaldo. I'll tell you right now, neither of them will ever look like Ronaldo. Shane might resemble him slightly because he's sort of thin and a bit more athletic. I say athletic. Dave is a just different type of athlete. If you want like a huge amount of weight lifted up once, he's your man. But I feel like if Dave Elliott started lifting a pile of weights and shredded down a bit, he would be a fucking beast. Probably similar to me, I'm a big chunky fucking guy. If I really hit the fucking weights, I'd be a monster. I'm going to do one. They're going to do Race to Ronaldo. I'm going to start one called Race to Bane. The Bane Train. Where I'm going to see how long it takes me to look like Tom Hardy in Batman. I might start that. I might run. I might say to them, do you want me to run that on the side? Race with the Bane Train. The Bane Train. This is 3 years of fucking design and communication. And thinking about ideas and advertising all just coming through in one swift thing there. See that? Race to Ronaldo, the Bane Train. I just made that up. The Bane Train. I might say that to them. You're cheating if you pick something that could actually feasibly happen. Shane, for example. Hey, Dave, even though you're built like a fucking rhino, do you want to play Race to Ronaldo with me? I'm a little skinny brown boy. I could probably look like Ronaldo in about a year and a half. Whereas Dave Elliott might look like what do you call that cunt that's like a weightlifter? Eddie something with a beard and a mohawk. That's what Dave could look like. Different breed, different type of guy. Thick as fuck. Alex Askew. Alex Askew, I don't know how you say that properly. What's your favourite submission to see ending a fight? I like all submissions. It's funny because I feel like in MMA fights, it's always the rear naked choke or the guillotine or something like that. When you're in a jiu-jitsu role, quite often it's quite hard to land the fucking rear naked choke in a grappling match between two people who are fairly good at it. Not fairly good, but they know what they're doing. People's rear naked choke defense is usually quite good. If someone takes your back, you kind of come to expect one of the first things they're going to try and do probably is rear naked choke you. And you use your wee hand fighting skills to keep them off. But when you're being punched in the head, you certainly open yourself up for more fucking rear naked chokes. So I don't know, what's my favorite? What's my favourite one to see? I don't know. Any at all, if it's well set up. Some submissions are ridiculous. Go back to Damian Maya when he fucking did one of those lateral drops to Chael Sonnen, and then put a triangle on him and then let Chael Sonnen roll over as if he was on top, and he rolled right into a fucking triangle choke, and you're like, Jesus Christ, he is a fucking demon. So just any of them really. I mean, any time a submission is used where it's like, oh look, jiu-jitsu just beat something else. You know, when Cain Velasquez fought Verdum and they were fighting and he was knackered and he shot for like a takedown, and Verdum almost let him take him down because he knew he was putting him straight into a guillotine. And you're like, huh. Anytime submissions are like, people are baited with submissions, like, go, like, you do this to me and I'm only letting you do it because I'm going to do this to you type of thing. It's an exchange. I really like those things. Take me down, I'll guillotine you. You know, there's things like baseball bat chokes, if we're getting really deep in the fucking jiu-jitsu game, where you would get the clamp on their head and neck, and then you let them pass your guard because they think they're getting an advantage and all they're doing is making the choke tighter. So there's things like that. I don't know. We're going off on one here, Alex. Do you do a bit of jiu-jitsu yourself or what? Do you? Do you? Maybe. Chris Porter. How many 3 liters are you going to drink? 3 liters are you going to drink at the Boney? Well, tell you what, Porter, and there are not too many of them around here. Tell you, they're fucking free. Ironically, I was sitting out beside a fire last night, you know, but that was not in any way bonfire night related. It's just, some of them are, they're just mental. You know, I'm sure it's good crack to sort of see from a distance, but like, you don't want to go to those ones where it's like, here, mate, see at any, watch your carry out, because at any second here, these fucking 17,000 pallets are going to fall over. Which, by the way, I used to work at a place years ago that fixed pallets. See those Euro, blue pallets, the Euro ones? First of all, you can kiss goodbye to them during this fucking Brexit. Second of all, some of those pallets are like 4, 5, 6 quid each. Second hand. So, like, anytime you see those giant fucking stacks, is that you'd be better putting them on a lorry in a batch of like 300 and selling them. You know, it's probably why a lot of them burn tires now, even though it's fucking illegal. I mean, that is a bit fucking nuts. They just get so out of hand, and I don't know. I heard someone make the point where they were like, what they should do is they should get those little, you know, those cage type fences that you would see around a building site. Someone's like, they should get like 8 of those and have 2 on each side and just be like, here you go, guys. Like, the council will do that. This is your quota almost for a bonfire. They're like, this is the size that you get, and you fucking build whatever the fuck you want in the middle of that, and we burn it, and then the council will clear it up. If not, you leave it and you're fucking, your place is a mess. But then, I don't know what people's fucking views on it are. I just think, in a bid to fucking outdo each other when it comes to size, like, they're going to, it's just going to topple over and fucking set fire to houses like it did in the Shankle. And then it just gets out of, you know, people turn into like fucking Katie Hopkins when it comes to burning like effigies of fucking people that they don't like. You know, and it just becomes more and more fucking ridiculous. I remember like a few years ago, they were like, oh, someone was burning a fucking Sinn Féin poster. And then the next minute it was like a fucking effigy of like, probably, I don't know who the fuck it was. I don't know, like fucking Jerry Adams or something. And then it got to the point where it was like, they're getting so much fucking attention for doing this outrageous shit, that the next one was like, that wee kid, Oscar Knox. You're like, why the fuck, like, someone's got a picture of a fucking kid who died on the thing because he's in a Celtic shirt or something. What the fuck is going on here? But it's just that thing of like, oh, look, we're getting attention for this. Let's go crazy. Same as Willie Fraser on Facebook. You know, people give, he's going like, fuck me, look how many hits this has got. Remy talking about people not crossing the border. He should be fucking killed. I love if this came back to this podcast. Geddes announces that he should be killed. He should be sectioned, if anything, because he's clearly fucking insane. But, like, mainly based on the fact that he can't say the word border correctly. The fucking border. Cool guy, though. Cool guy. Lee McGlinchey, the best RKO you've ever seen and maybe most colourful shite you've ever done. RKO, is that that wrestling move? I don't know, mate. I don't know if I've ever seen one in real life. I might bring it back. Is that the guy John Cena does that? Here's an interesting photo. Check out the photo of John Cena. I may have talked about this last week. Who you think is an absolute fucking chunky beast. And he's standing beside Izzy or Israel Folau or whatever his name is. He's either a fullback or a winger for Australia. He looks like a wee fat dumpy kid beside this cunt. It's unbelievable. Unbelievable athletes in the pro rugby world, guys. Am I right? Have you... most colourful shite? While we're on the... I don't know. I remember being sick once in uni and just had this terrible stomach bug and I was literally shiting what looked like luminous Weetabix. Moving on. You did ask, Lee. Ryan Doyle, have you ever had Dragon's Den-style world-changing idea or invention? If so, what would your pitch be? Let me tell you something. When you're a creative genius like me, Ryan, sometimes it's hard to keep track of the ideas you have. You know, sometimes they just fall out of you and you're like, and then eventually someone makes it and you're like, oh my God, imagine. Here's some of my ideas, right? There should be butter, but in the style of like a giant lipstick or lip balm. So, you know, you just fucking screw the bottom and it comes out and you just basically draw it on your toast. Rather than, you know, you get those days where you're trying to fucking... Now, don't get wrong. I know this fucking won't work at all because... If you're keeping it in a room for room temperature, it's not going to work. You know? Unless you do it like a grid thing where it comes out like one of those roll-on deodorants. I don't know. Here's another invention. Squirty egg yolk. I don't know. Put some preservatives in it so it's just squirty and you can put it on chips along with brown sauce. You know? You don't want to eat a full egg sometimes. That's a lie. I'll always eat the fucking egg. The latest idea that I had was after many, many phones and people with other phones and, you know, why is this not got enough memory and da, 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 da. And then I seen an ad for the iPad Pro and I was like, why don't Apple, now this is me adding on things to Apple, right? They're probably way better at coming up with this shit than me, obviously. You know, apart from the lipstick butter and the squirty yolk. Apple should make an iPhone Pro. So you get all your girly fucking, here's my rose gold iPhone 6, you know, and it doesn't have enough memory and your phone's constantly like, oh, there's no memory in this fucking piece of shit. Here's what they should do. They should have a fucking iPhone that's like, looks like an iPhone. It's thicker because it's got like a terabyte of memory. They should make it robust and waterproof. So they should make it for people who are in the industry of like media, filmmaking, out doing stuff. And it's dearer, sure, it's more expensive. It could be a lot more expensive, but they should just do a no fuckery phone for the people who are willing to pay for it. You know, so you get this phone that's you could throw off a fucking building and it's fine. And it's waterproof, and it's got massive memory, and it's got a great camera, and great sound, and so, and that's what you do. That's another idea, man. But you know, apart from that, we're not reinventing the wheel here. Ryan, James Crummy, has the Squadcast got their own band for the 12th with Kieran on the bass drum? Any weekend gigs coming up for the Ulster Hall? Before the Ulster Hall, don't know, I'll let you know about the gigs before Ulster Hall. The problem is in Belfast, where most of us gig, there aren't any fucking weekend gigs, apart from the Book Reserve, which is a bring-your-own-booze-style hipster gig in a bookshop. Form their own band. Let me tell you something. You get Kieran Bartlett of West Belfast to play a drum in a fucking loyalist flute band. And if you can get him to do that, I'll certainly join. Play something. Don't know what I'd play. Guitar. Can you play guitar badly in a band? Chris Irwin, have you seen David Brent's Lady Gypsy video? And which, if any, of these British TV characters have translated well into a movie? Borat is the best one, but it's one of the best comedy films of all time. It is funny as a motherfucker. There's a thing that happens when they shoot British films where I don't know what it is about filming in Britain that it looks like shit. It just, the setup, just the way it looks, the light, the buildings and all, it just doesn't look good. You know, if like, it's like, there's just a certain way that American film and TV is made that it looks better. And it's hard to explain. The best fucking example of it I can think of late was watching, I'd seen The Conjuring 1, which is actually not a bad film for a horror movie, but it's very scary, because usually those horror films are like, you'll shit your pants, but the film's crap. Whereas that Conjuring was actually decent. And it looks, you know, it's good American sort of thing. But then the second one was based in England. And it may well have been an American production in England, but it looked like shit. Like, it looked cheaper and crapper than the first one. And it probably was of the same, if not more, budget and whatever, but it just looked like shit. So the only ones that really work are like ones where they sort of go to America for some reason. I don't know. It's just, there is a cheapness to shooting in Great Britain where it just looks crap. You know, Billy Elliot, still British-y qualities to it, just looks shit. But yeah, Bruno's definitely the one that's translated the best. The Alan Partridge movie was fucking fairly crap. I'll see what this one's like. I don't know, I used to be the biggest fan of fucking Ricky Gervais, and I still am of that work that he did back then. And I hate to be one of these guys where like, oh, I liked him and then he just did this. But he really did sort of just take the foot off the fucking gas. You know, that podcast that they had with Carl Pilkington or whatever, like, I think he underestimates the value of that now. You know, like, they were doing very well at the time, but think of how big it would be now if they just kept fucking doing it. That would have kept me more invested as a fan than him disappearing for like years and then come back and going, this is Cemetery Junction. And you're like, oh, cool, no one gives a fuck. It's not that good. It's not that interesting a film to make me want to watch it. Especially when you're known as a comedian, you know, make funny shit. Act a bit. He's the same fucking person in everything. Anyway, going off on one there, but Borat is definitely the best translation to take the big screen. All right, Colin, learn to speak. Most embarrassing fart you've done in public? I don't know. Can't really recall any real danger farts. What else have I done in public that's way more embarrassing than that? A woman walked, but they tell about the woman who walked past me the other day in Belfast and hit me in the dick. You know, I can't remember. This is a problem having a podcast and then real conversations with real people. You're like, did I fucking say this or what? Yeah, there's this woman walked past me in a hurry and sort of backhanded me in the dick. And I don't know what she thinks she thought she hit, but she didn't look or anything. She didn't look back. Maybe girls can tell that. Like that Louis C.K. joke, you can tell a tit. Even on a subway, if you, with your elbow through your jacket, hit her tit, going through her jacket, sweater, t-shirt, and bra, you can still go, oh, that's a tit. I felt that was a tit. Is it the same with dick? Did she go like, oh, I just backpalmed a dick there? Hit me right in the dick. It's pretty embarrassing. Not for her. I had a full erection. Carl Ward, will you have to rescue Shane Todd from his one-man show at the Ulster Hall? I don't know what that means, really. Will we have to rescue him before Why? Because he need help, or...
What the fuck are you talking about, Carl?
Will he need help? Probably not. I'm sure he'll be fine. What we should all do, just so that he gets the full squad experience, is all the rest of us, all six of us, should do support for him. Basically turn it into, you know, the squad night part two. But I don't really know what you mean by that, Cardboard. Sorry about that. Sorry, I can't help you there. So there you go, guys. That's the end of the podcast. Shout out to Beer 52 for sponsoring us once again. The gigs coming up are, of course, Lavery's, which is the first and third Wednesday of every month. The next one is on the 20th. I'll release the lineup soon, but it may well include the winners of the open mic I was at last week, if they're available. Another gig to plug is Woodsy's gig, which I'm doing support for, which he actually texted me and told me to fucking promote. Lad, can you promote my gig? Get your own fucking podcast, Woodsy, you lesbian fucking bastard. Can you promote my gig? I'm in work. Get a real job, Woodsy, and become a full-time comedian, you fucking Sue Perkins-looking laser. It's on the 27th of August in the Alley Theatre in Strabane. So if you're from that area or anywhere else and you want to go see Rory Woods do his show, Woodylicious, and me and Kieran Bartlett offered to do support 600 years ago, and it's coming up 27th of August. So go to that. And of course, the one big one, which is the 29th of October, 2016, in the old Ulster Hall. Get your ticks. It will be fucking epic. I'll tell you that right now. You're getting six comedians on the one bill in the Ulster Hall, which is kind of better than, you know, if you went to see, like, I've went to see acts in the Ulster Hall where they talked for an hour and you're like, oh, this is shit. I wish there was other people on. The longest you're going to have to put up with any of us cunts is 20 minutes before the next one comes on. So that's the time to go see us. The 10p mix up. We're going to start winding it down on the run up to the gig. So the likes of Lavery's and stuff won't have as many of the locals in it. So there you have it, guys. Check out beer52.com. Give them follows. Buy some beer if you want to support this podcast. ColinGaddis.com. Buy a fucking t-shirt. We have General Banter t-shirts available in selected sizes. There's a few left. A few for the big lads, too. And follow me on Snapchat. That's about it. And I'll fucking speak to you next week where I'll maybe have a funnier fucking podcast. You know, not talking about Gaza having fucking alcoholism. Why, hey, Pete, look at me fucking dick getting out of the fucking car. Anyway, see you later. Respect.